You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I'm beginning now a new series on the spiritual gifts. And right now, I want to talk to you about the purpose of the spiritual gifts. So, what are the spiritual gifts? The spiritual gifts are abilities that the Holy Spirit has given to each and every one of us for the benefit of other believers and to help build the church. The spiritual gifts are as follows, and I've broken them down into categories for you. The service gifts are the gift of exhortation, Romans 12:8, the gift of giving, also Romans 12:8, the gift of leadership, Romans 12:8 and 1 Corinthians 12:28. The gift of service, Romans 12:7. The gift of administration or helps, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Now, I want to pause here for a second to mention this. All spiritual gifts are to be used to serve one another, to serve the church. But this is just a category name that I gave to this block of gifts. Then there are the power gifts. This is the gift of prophecy, Romans 12:6. 1 Corinthians 12:10. The gift of discernment, also 1 Corinthians 12:10. 1 Corinthians 12:10 also has the gift of healing listed and the gift of miracles listed, the gift of tongues listed, and the gift of tongues interpretation. 1 Corinthians 12:8 mentions the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, and 1 Corinthians 12:9 tells us of the gift of faith. Then there are the leadership gifts. This is Ephesians 4:11, where the scripture tells us that the gift of the evangelist, the gift of the pastor, the teacher, the apostle, and the prophet. Now, as this series continues, I'm going to elaborate more on these various spiritual gifts. But remember, these are abilities that the Holy Spirit has given to each of us, and you have, in fact, been given a spiritual gift. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to begin reading, of course, at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's start at verse number 1. This is what the scripture says. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul the Apostle is writing to the Corinthian church, and their background is one of witchcraft and sorcery and paganism. The Corinthians were a corrupt people. Their moral standard was very low and unbiblical. They worshiped idols like Poseidon, Aphrodite, Asclepius, the god of healing, the god of truth, the god of prophecy. And so they came from paganism. Now, Paul the Apostle is writing to them saying, listen, I want you to understand the spiritual gifts. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding. So he goes on to say that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What's going on here? Well, Paul the Apostle doesn't want these former pagans to confuse the spiritual gifts with pagan or demonic power. He wants them to recognize that there is a difference between the power of the Holy Spirit and demonic power. He wants them to recognize that there's a difference between the power of God and paganism. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So we learn in Scripture that you can't judge people primarily upon their ability to demonstrate power. Paul the Apostle is drawing a distinction between demonic power and Holy Spirit power. But that doesn't mean that everyone who demonstrates power or who necessarily comes in the name of Jesus is actually a believer operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what Paul the Apostle is exposing here is that way that you can differentiate between the two. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's not saying that they can't say that phrase. He's not saying that anyone who says the words Jesus is Lord is automatically someone you should trust or someone who's using Holy Spirit power. We just read about that in Matthew chapter 7. So we mustn't put too much weight behind power demonstrations. Rather, we should put our judgment, or we should put the standard of our judgment based upon what the Scripture teaches, namely that if Jesus is the focus, if that demonstration of power causes you to look to Jesus rather than man, then it's very likely that that demonstration of power is of the Holy Spirit. And unless they are pointing to the lordship of Christ, it's likely pagan power or demonic power. So we can't judge whether or not someone is coming in the name of Jesus through power demonstrations alone. We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and we read about that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. There are two types of power that are being talked about here. So we have to be able to discern the difference, and we must recognize that, again, demonstrations of power are not necessarily reasons to trust someone. It all comes down to what they do with the lordship of Christ, how they treat the message of the gospel, the central message of the gospel of hope through Christ Jesus and salvation through Him alone. So, after Paul the Apostle sets this foundation, pointing to the fact that they're not using pagan power, but in fact that they're using the power of the Holy Spirit, he goes on to say in verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Now, I wanted you to notice something here. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Spirit, Lord, God. Spirit, Lord, God. The Spirit, the Son, the Father. This is a reference to the Trinity here. And the reason I believe that Paul the Apostle is referencing the Trinity is because the gifts work best in unity. Just as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide in perfect unity with one another, so those who use the spiritual gifts should abide in unity with one another if they are to see the fullness of the power of the spiritual gifts. Also, think about the fact that the Spirit is the source of the gifts. It's the Lord who helps us to serve. It's God who does the work through all of us. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in unity decided which spiritual gifts you would get. This is why I believe the Scripture says in Romans 11, 29, for God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. What the Trinity decides in unity can never be undone. Go down now to verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That is the purpose of the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts are given to us not for status, but for service. Not for self-promotion, but for the edifying of one another. Not for show or status, but for service. It's not to lift up your name, but to lift your brothers and sisters. God has given to each of us a spiritual gift. Look at that verse again. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Very clearly, the Scripture tells us here that you have in fact been given a spiritual gift. You may not feel like you've received a spiritual gift. You may not think that you've received a spiritual gift. You may doubt that you have a spiritual gift, but let God be true and every man a liar. The Scripture makes it clear that the Holy Spirit has deposited a spiritual gift in you. And later on in this series, I will show you how to discover your spiritual gifts. But for now, I want to drive home the point that, in fact, the Holy Spirit has given you a spiritual gift. And He's given you a spiritual gift that you might help other believers. that you might build them up in their faith, that you might strengthen them in their spirit. Continuing now, let's go down to verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. So each and every one of us who has been given a spiritual gift, we serve a purpose in the body. We serve in unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The spiritual gifts have been deposited in the believers that we might build one another up and build the church collectively. God has given you a spiritual gift. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there is the counterfeit. Yes, the enemy will always try to duplicate, and he'll fail miserably, the power of God. Yes, the enemy will try to counterfeit the spiritual gifts. But that doesn't mean that there isn't such a thing as the power of the Holy Spirit working through believers. In fact, God has given you a spiritual gift. And he's given you that spiritual gift that you might serve in his body. Romans 12:8. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Scripture makes it clear that when God has given you a spiritual gift, it is your responsibility to discover it, to activate it, and to use it to build one another.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.